Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our hope and Redeemer. On the 20th of April 1939, that is to say, almost exactly 84 years ago today, a young African-American singer by the name of Billie Holiday stood on a stage in New York and for the first time performed what would essentially become her signature theme song, a song called Strange Fruit. That song is about a ghastly reality that existed in American life at that time, the reality of lynching, in which, particularly in the South, whites would often lynch black men for often no reason at all, but simply because they could. And although lynching was technically illegal, especially in the South, it was tolerated and allowed and often covertly encouraged. And the title of that song, Strange Fruit, refers to the image of black men hanging from trees where they'd been lynched, like the kind of strange, ghastly fruit that had been borne by racist hatred. It's a powerful and extraordinary song. And you may be wondering today why I'm talking about it, given that this is Easter Sunday. After all, isn't Easter Sunday meant to be a day of celebration, a day of joyousness, a day when we mark Christ's resurrection, when we celebrate the empty tomb? But as Lucas quite rightly pointed out on Friday, all too often we tend to rush past the events of Good Friday and want to get to the celebratory bit on Easter Sunday. But not only that, we forget that Good Friday and Easter Sunday are inextricably linked. You cannot have the one without the other. And in our culture that denies death and which fetishizes youth, that separation is all too indicative of how we want to skip past the bit that is uncomfortable and just have a celebration instead. But we have to link the two, precisely because without Good Friday, Easter Sunday makes no sense. Because what, after all, is the resurrection about? What does it signify? What does it mean? And more than anything else, it means God's solidarity in all the realities of human life. The suffering and the injustice of the cross is God's presence in suffering and reality that occurs in human life. And the resurrection is God's assurance that this reality does not have the final word in human life. Our lives and the meaning of our existence is not defined or qualified by the existence of injustice and suffering and even of death. The resurrection proclaims to us that the final word and the ultimate meaning of our reality belongs to God. And God's word is of grace and of compassion and of reconciliation and of mercy. When we image Good Friday and the picture of Jesus on the cross, we can image the families of those lynched men kneeling, crying underneath their murdered loved ones, just as we often image Mary kneeling and crying at the foot of the cross. And in today's reading from the Gospel according to John, we have another profoundly, deeply moving human image. The image of Mary weeping outside the tomb. Because to her it must have seemed that everything was over, that everything was lost, that everything was gone. Because not only had Jesus been crucified for no other reason than telling us that God loves us and that we ought accordingly love one another, but for all she knew, someone had stolen his body as well. It was the final humiliation. And then that event happens. Jesus approaches her. Not the disciples who've been and gone, but Mary, who, even in the disciple group, as a woman in that time and place, and probably as a woman in this time and place, would have been on the margins of the group. It is to her that Jesus appears. And quite frankly, I don't care how you understand that appearance, whether you think it was literally an appearance or something else. Arguments about that are entirely beside the point. What matters is that in that moment, in that point of despair, of utter lostness, Mary experienced the presence and the solidarity of God. And that's the message today. Because in that solidarity came hope for new tomorrows, came hope for new beginnings, came hope for new realities. In that presence came the word that this is not the end, but just the beginning. And a reminder that the work of reconciliation and redemption and renewal is continuous and ongoing, and God invites all of us to participate in that work. And so it was with Billie Holiday's song that gave rise to the anti-lynching movement, which then gave rise to anti-lynching legislation, which then spurred the civil rights movement, which then gave rise to further legislation, and all of which hasn't solved any of the problems or issues of injustice, but involves generation after generation in the work of renewal and redemption and reconciliation, as we see today in the Black Lives Matter movement. This morning, a friend of mine who lives in the United States sent me an image of a piece of art they had seen recently. It depicts a hooded gunman with weapons in both his hands, like this. And on that gunman's back, crucified, is the body of a school child. In the reality of the horror of gun violence, we are still able to image the presence and the solidarity of God. And in the suffering and the injustice of that violence, who knows? Maybe another movement for renewal will occur and take place. So today is indeed a day of celebration. But it is not a celebration divorced from the realities of the world. It is a celebration that is grounded in those realities. Because the message that we have for the world today is that suffering and death and injustice are not the normative state of human existence. God calls us to something else, to something better, to something fully human. And that is what we celebrate today, the resurrection that is God's promise of the ongoing renewal of the world and of human life, and ultimately of the reconciliation of the life of the world in all its suffering and brokenness into the life of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.